Well, please keep that passage open in front of you. It's page 1043, because we're going to be looking at that passage together. Let's pray. We need God's help as we come to His Word, so let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now, please, that You would teach us. Help us to understand Your Word. And Father, please, would You help open up our hearts, that we would feel convicted, and we would feel that we don't just know these words and know what they mean, but that You would take Your Word and plant it in our hearts. Show us ourselves, Father, and show us Jesus. Amen. Well, yesterday, on the day away, one of the things that we were thinking about was, one of the comments that was made was about hypocrisy. It's a charge that is often leveled at Christians. And you're a bunch of hypocrites. And what we were saying, one of the things we were saying yesterday was, yes, that's true. We are. In that, the way that we live doesn't always reflect our standards, doesn't always reflect what the Bible teaches. We sort of say, well, this is what the Bible says, but so often our lives are very different. And therefore it's right to say, well, yes, we are actually a bunch of hypocrites. I like the line that Tim had yesterday when he said, people will often say, our church is just full of hypocrites. Remember the line he said? There, no. There's still room. We've still got space for more. You could come and join us if you wanted. See, it's true that we are hypocrites. But if that's true, then does that mean that Jesus is slamming all of us? Because in the verses that we've just read, that Richard just read for us, Jesus slams hypocrites. Well, I think Jesus here is clearly speaking to particular groups of people, to the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And it is absolutely right that Jesus is more critical of religious hypocrites than anyone that I have ever met. He hates religious hypocrisy. And therefore, we've got to be very careful that we don't fall into this trap. And we're going to look at two questions which come out of these verses to help us see if we fall into this trap. And the first question is this. Up on the screen there, it says, is your Christianity all about appearances? Is your Christianity all about appearances? The scene that we've got here with Jesus is that Jesus is going to the house of a Pharisee, and he's going there to eat. He's going to have dinner. But Jesus doesn't wash his hands. Now, this isn't a washing hands to get your hands just normally clean like we would do before a meal. This is a ritual cleansing of the hands that Jesus didn't do. So the Jews, the Pharisees, would say, well, you need to have this ritual cleansing. You need to be washed in this way so that the uncleanness of where you've been doesn't go into you, so that the nasty people that you touch, maybe, or nasty things that you touch won't go into you. So it's a way of keeping yourself ritually pure. And Jesus doesn't join in with this at all. But rather, he turns his attention on the Pharisees, and he casts his view of the Pharisees. They're judging him, but then he says, well, this is what I think of you. And it's very uncomfortable. Verse 39, have a look at it. Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So Jesus is saying, for these Pharisees, for this Pharisee, he's saying, you're like a dish, you're like a dish which is on the outside is beautifully clean, you've cleaned it really nicely up, it looks really good, but on the inside it's just dirty, it's disgustingly horrible. And he is saying, Pharisees, that is what you are like. You do all the outward things. You may wash your hands. You may do all the ritual things. But inside, you are filthy. You are full of wickedness and greed, Jesus says. And Jesus says, don't be fooled. Don't think you can fool God in this. God didn't just make the outside of you. He made the inside as well. And so he knows what you're like on the inside. I don't know about you, but I find that quite scary, don't you? I mean, we like to think that we present quite a nice sort of front to people. And that doesn't fool God at all. He knows what's going on inside, but he knows everything in our hearts, every thought he knows. It's really uncomfortable. And these, verse 41, Jesus goes on. This is a slightly tricky verse to translate. It says, but give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Again, slightly unclear what exactly that's saying, but basically it's still an outside-inside thing. It's still Jesus saying, look, if you give from the inside, if your inside is clean, clean up the inside, you're all right. Jesus is saying, you're like that dish. Clean on the outside, dirty on the inside. But this love of appearances that the Pharisees had wasn't just about that. It extended also to, they majored on the minors and forgot about the majors. They majored on the minors and forgot about the majors. So verse 42, it says, woe to you, Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. See, these Pharisees, they really major on the minor. They really go for the little details, which Jesus doesn't say they're wrong, but he just says that you're focusing even in on your herbs. Now, tithing, he says you tithe your mint and rue. Tithing is giving a proportion of what you've got away. So it's a good thing to do. It still is a good thing to do, to give away a proportion of what you have. But these Pharisees were taking it to the extreme of even the herbs that were growing in their garden. The mint that was growing, they would say, well, better give a tenth of that, maybe. So they'd take them, maybe they'd weigh their mint, and they'd take a tenth of it and they'd give that away. I don't know who wants a tenth of the mint, but anyway, they would give it away. Jesus is saying, you're focusing on those little details, but what are they forgetting? What are they missing out on? Justice and the love of God. I mean, those are the big things. He's saying, you've forgotten about justice. That can happen to us as well. We get so caught up in the details. We make sure, yeah, we're not lying, and we're not getting drunk, and we're not doing this, and we're not doing that. It's your love of God. You love God more now than you did 6 months ago. I mean, is your love of God growing? Do you love Him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength? But we just get focused on the mind. Jesus doesn't say forget about the minor things. He says you've got to do the major things. These Pharisees were so caught up in appearances that they were just focusing on the minor. They also loved the appearance of importance. Verse 43 says, woe to you Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. And Jesus isn't saying it's wrong to have important positions or important people. He's saying these people, where they've gone wrong is they love them. Their big goal was to be in the important seat, the big seat, to be greeted in the marketplace with their official title, of course. And they loved it. That's what they lived for. That's what they wanted. Jesus is saying, it's not really just going for the positions, but love of status. Now, see, I am served in this by the fact that generally nowadays you tell people you're a vicar, no one has a great deal of respect for that. In fact, you get more pity than respect at that point. So becoming a vicar is not going to lead to that very easy. But nevertheless, we can still have this love of position, can't we? Loving being in the pulpit or being up front, or loving being a home group leader if you're a home group leader, or loving being in this position or that position, or in the workplace, being in this position or that position, having this status, and we can say, oh, I love that. I want people to look at me and go, ah, welcome your Lord, your God, welcome your whoever you want. You know, in time of this. And he gives his verdict up and says, verse 44, woe to you, because you're like unmarked graves. And then we'll go with that now. You look good on the outside, but actually you're dead. And furthermore, you're bad for other people, because one of the whole point about having a marked grave for the Jews was that if anyone walked over someone's grave or touched a grave or touched a dead body, they would become unclean. So they made it really clear where the graves were so that no one could do that. But an unmarked grave, someone would walk over and make it, they'd become unclean. So Jesus is saying of these Pharisees, you know, not only are you dead yourself, but you're making other people worse. Jesus is saying, it's not all about appearances. We all need to recognize that actually no ritual, no outward thing can cover the fact that inside we are dirty, we are unclean. It's great to baptize Faye, and it's brilliant to have brought Faye for baptism. Wonderful. And there are loads of us who've done this, who've brought our children for baptism. It is a great thing to do. We as a family did it. That's all right, Faye, I was talking about you, so you can chirp in if you want. We did it, our family did it as well, so I'm not picking on you guys at all. We all do it, but we've got to be really careful that the ritual of doing baptism, that we don't think that that sort of outward thing means that therefore we're all right with God. Or that communion might make us think that we're all right with God. That's fine, that's fine. See, we've got to realize those outward things, those outward rituals, they don't make us right with God. They can just be appearances. See, we need to realize this. We are very good at making ourselves look all right, aren't we? We can dress up well on a Sunday. We can look okay. We can put a tie on. We can give off the appearance of being okay. But we need to realize that under the smartness of what we look like, sorry, you're going to lose sound. We're all dirty. We're all unclean. We all get angry. We all lust, or we all tell lies, or we all do bad things. And no amount of smartness can cover up to God what we are really like on the inside. And the danger is not that the danger is that we think that the smartness makes us all right, and that God just sees the smartness, or He just sees the ritual. He doesn't see the heart. Is your Christianity all about appearance? Jesus slams that. It is. So that's the first question. Is it all about appearances? Second thing, is your Christianity all about rules? A teacher of the law at this point chirps up and says, in verse 45, one of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Now that's because the teachers of the law sort of helped the Pharisees. They really dug into the law, the Old Testament law, and tried to understand it, and then told the Pharisees what it all meant. So the teachers of the law kind of worked with the Pharisees, and so they're saying, look, by slamming the Pharisees, you're slamming us too. Which I think this teacher of the law may have regretted saying that. Because Jesus then goes, verse 46, "And you experts in the law, woe to you. Because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourself will not lift one finger to help them." What is this burden that they're putting on people? It's the rules, it's the laws. Now, it's not wrong that they dig into the Old Testament law. They're a good thing. But they were just coming out with rule after rule after rule. And they thought, if you obey this rule, do that rule, do this, that, and the other, then God will like you. Then you'll be all right with God. And the thing is, again, that's what lots of people think Christianity is all about today. They think it's all about the rules. They think it's all about do this, do this, do this, do this. Don't do that, don't do that. Whatever you do, don't have fun. And they think that's what Christianity is all about. But Jesus is saying, no, if you think Christianity is all about the rules, we've got it wrong. Al Murray, the pub landlord. I quite like Al Murray, the pub landlord. He's a comedian. This character, he does fairly politically incorrect. He says, rules are rules. Where would we be without rules? France. Where would we be if we have too many rules? Germany. And he carries on. But these teachers of the law, they were all about the rules. They load people down with them. And you can see that as you go on later in Luke. That's the way it was. So there was this woman, you'll see it in chapter 13, and we'll come on to that when we come to that chapter in a while, in Luke. But you see this woman who comes to Jesus, or Jesus comes to her, and she's been crippled for 13 years. And Jesus heals her, and you would think everyone would go, wow, what an amazing thing. But no, the religious leaders were saying, you did it on a Sabbath. You did it on the seventh day of the week when you shouldn't do work. Jesus is saying that you're just all about the rules. And you're not loving people. You're not trying to help people. Furthermore, they carry on the traditions of their fathers. Now, we don't have time to go into this in great detail. And Jesus is saying to them, look, you're, verse 47, you're building these tombs for the prophets. And Jesus is saying, it sort of shows that you approve of the fact that they were killed. Now, it's not likely that the teachers of the law in building these tombs were thinking, great, the prophets were killed. They're probably thinking, no, we're honouring the prophets by building their tombs, by making them look really nice. We're honouring the prophets. But what Jesus is saying actually is, deep down in your heart, actually you are just like your forefathers who killed the prophets. You're not honouring the prophets, you're just like your forefathers. And you see that by the fact that what they then go and do, which is, well, they kill Jesus. They then killed the apostles, don't they? I mean, Paul, Peter, others, all killed. And Jesus is saying, you are just like your forefathers. You may not think you are, but you are. And what's Jesus' verdict on verse 52? Woe to you experts in the law, because you've taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you've hindered those from where entering. Happening, Jesus is saying, look, it's not just that you've gone a little bit wrong in teaching the law, you have gone completely wrong. You are not in, you have not entered yourself, you've not entered into a relationship with God, you're just all about the rules, and you've not entered into a relationship with God, and furthermore, you're stopping others from getting it. You see, the problem with both appearance and rules is that they both miss the point. Neither gets to the heart of the matter. Neither gets to the heart of the problem. See, the Pharisees, Jesus is saying, thought it was all about appearance. And if I could have the right appearance, then God will think I'm all right. The teachers of the law thought, well, it's all about the rules. If you do the rules, then God will think you're all right. But the problem with both is that they don't take into account this, the fact that I'm a sinner. You see, the whole point of the law was not to make you feel good, but to make you realize you're bad. It was so that you could look at the laws and go, but I don't keep them. I know I'm dirty on the inside. And that's how we need to come to God. And that's actually what baptism is all about. It's saying, I can't wash myself clean. I can't get myself right. That's why you can't come and baptize yourself here. That's why you have someone else to do it. Because it's saying it's a humbling thing, isn't it? It's saying I can't do it myself. Because I'm dirty, I can't do it. What does communion take us to? When we take communion together, what does that take us to? That shows us that the only way that we could be made clean, the only way we could be made really clean on the inside is by Jesus dying for us. By his death on the cross, where he took my sin on himself. Yes, we are all hypocrites. We don't live up to what Father says. But the problem with these guys was that they didn't. They thought that by having the appearance and by having the rules, they thought that they were okay. We need to come to God and say, God, I'm the one. And that's. And I need you to clean me up. If you're a Christian, if you're a churchgoer, we need to examine our hearts. Say, has it become all about the appearance, all about the rules? Do we come to God?
people of God. If you're not a Christian today, we are a bunch of hypocrites. And yet there's room for you to join us. Because you, like us, need to be washed clean by Jesus. Last challenge is just to pick up on something that was said yesterday. How are you going to talk about this tomorrow in your Monday morning conversation when someone says to you, what do you do over the weekend? What are you going to say about what you heard in church today? And you can say, you know what, I realise it's not about appearance, it's not about rules of Christianity, it's about those things. But I mean, it's been washed on the inside. No clean. And Jesus can do it. What's the suggestion? You've probably got better ways of saying it yourself. Let's finish by prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that although we are sinners, and we each one of us are, thank you that Jesus came to die for us so that we could be washed clean, so that we could be forgiven. Father, please would you help us to come to Jesus on the road.